I'm not so very good to preach the same sermon in a double way because I don't have any written sermon. So I just speak what the Holy Spirit is given to me, and I want to serve you. That is my greatest privilege. Serve God and serve people. And there is something in this I want you to open your heart for, because we are all called actually to be that, in that perspective, to serve others with the same anointing that God gave to Jesus. Jesus actually said, "As I have been sent by my Father, I send you." So that means that is something for us as believers today, not to be just sitting in the pews to just receive, give me, but receive and to give to others. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Freely you received, freely you give." So it's a continuous basis that we receive from the Lord and we give to others. That's how it's functioned. God is working through us to others. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. I've been here in America now for 1.5 week. We were up in Vancouver, Washington, having a healing conference. And so many were blessed by the Lord. And so many, I don't know the numbers, but we prayed for several hundred people. And God was showing up, and so many were healed. And, you know, God is the same here, also in California. Isn't that good? So just have expectation that God will also show up now in this second meeting. And if you have a need in your body, I'm sure that God will also touch you. For sure, healing is not the most important thing. Salvation is the biggest miracle of all. Amen? But you know the prophecy from Isaiah about what Jesus did on the cross. 750 years before it happened. He says, "He took our infirmities. He took our sins in his own body. He took our sickness. He carried our pains in his own body." Amen? If he did that, we cannot only be saved, but also be healed. The Christian tradition have learned us to accept salvation as a miracle. But we cannot cut off that God wants to bless us also in our bodies. It's included in the redemption. Amen? By his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah prophesied. Peter, after the cross, looking back at the cross, he was there denying Jesus, but he was restored. But then he says in 1 Peter 2 and 24, "By his stripes we were healed." Pointing back at the cross, something is fulfilled. When Jesus died on the cross, he says, "It is fulfilled." And he gave up his breathing. You and I, we cannot add anything. It is fulfilled. You and I, we cannot make ourselves worthy to receive salvation. We cannot either make us worthy to get healed. Some people say, "Well, maybe God wants to give me this sickness that I will learn something." What kind of God would that be? God is good all the time. Amen? He will not give you any sickness. All the gifts that come from above is good. James 1 and 17. There is no variation or turning with God. He is good. He only gives good gifts to us. Sickness is not a good gift. Amen? We have to understand that God wants us to be well. Amen? If you see the look at the life of Jesus, for example, in Matthew 8, there is a leper coming to Jesus. Jesus, Master, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You and I ask ourselves, oh, well, I don't know if God wants to heal me. Read the Word. Read the Scripture. Jesus says, I am willing. And he lays hands upon the sick, and the leprosy just went away, totally healed. Jesus is also the same today. He is willing. He is willing. Amen? I underline that because our mind is sometimes is a little bit dizzy. Because all of us have experience of people that we know dearly, we have good friends, and they were not healed. I don't know how many thousand people I pray for every year. And I can confess, not all of them are healed. I wish, but it's not up to me. I am not the healer, he is. But there are obstacles. Even in churches, there are obstacles for healing. Like Paul is teaching about communion in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, because of people do not discern between the body of Christ. He's speaking about the chair, the bread, and the cup. But the bread is the body of Christ, broken for us. We are the body of Christ. And if we do not discern what this kind of fellowship is compared with the football club, that may be a good fellowship also, but it's not the same. Because of this, Paul says, many among you are sick. Even many have died too early. This is serious business, my friends. Because of what? Because of we don't see what we have in the fellowship of the living church. We belong to the church of the living God. It should be a living church. Amen? And Jesus commands us that we should love each other. John 13, 14, 15, and 16. It says, over and over again, this I command you, that you shall love each other. It's not a question of feeling. It's a question of obedience. Feelings will come, feelings will go. But if you obey, start to love your brother and sister, there will be an atmosphere of healing in your church. The fellowship in the church is a healing fellowship. Having a worship sermon, we just glorify God. That is a healing sermon. To have the communion is a healing sermon. God is working with us. This is the biggest challenge every Christian church have, really, to accept this. I can and I should love my brother and sister. And if we do that, Jesus says in John 13, 34, and 35, if we do that, people outside will see that we are the disciples of Jesus. This is the best testimony ever. And the time we are living in is so much focused on I, me, and myself. But that's an unholy trinity. But we are so selfish out in the world, and it's coming also enter into our churches. I'm sorry to say, but this is something you and I have to be observant of, and we have to cleanse it away. Because when we are touched about Jesus, we are also becoming more and more generous to give, always give, give. Freely we receive, freely we give. Amen. We will read about Jesus. We read that every single one is healed. I just pick one scripture here, Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. I could pick almost any kind of chapter here. It's the same all over. I can read in Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What have happened to the church of today? We should do the same things as Jesus. But many of the churches, we are just preaching and teaching. We don't do the powerful stuff with healing and deliverance. Well, first, perhaps we don't believe that this is for us. It is. The next chapter, in chapter 10, Jesus delegated authority to his disciples. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He gives that to the disciples. If we follow Jesus, we are his disciples. Discipleship, it belongs to us. Discipleship also speaks about discipline in our lives. All of us have to come into that process of discipline in the discipleship area. You may say to yourself, well, I am like I am. I have my weakness. I'm just a human. You're not just a human. You are a child of God. You're born again if you belong to Jesus. You're a new creation. All things has passed away. That means what you say, I am. No. You were, but now you're a new creation. You can be something else. You can be what the Bible tells you that you can be. Amen? Oh, but you know, I have a bad temper because, well, I know my father had, so I have it also. So it's, I cannot do anything about it. That's a lie. Both you and your father can be changed. Amen? I'm not picking on any special person. I just know how we are arguing. I cannot help that I am like I am. No, but you can look for Jesus. You can come closer to him. We are called to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. We are called to have this unique connection with the living God. How can I have that? Live in the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh, came among us. But he lives through his Word. He speaks to you through his Word. You are changed by eating the Word every day. Most of us, we eat breakfast, don't we? Are you here today? Yeah. And most of you want lunch? Yes. And you want dinner also. And between that, you want to go to Starbucks? Me too. Not only pumpkin pie, but they have brownies also, yeah. No, but you know, we cannot just fill ourselves with stuff like that. We have to fill us with the Word of God. I remember one person in my church had a really bad situation. So I asked her, well, but when you read the Bible, don't you feel that God is speaking to you? Well, actually, I don't read the Bible, she said. Okay? And when you pray then, don't you feel that you get something? Well, actually, I don't pray either. So if you don't pray, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't listen to sermons, how can you even be a Christian? You can't. You can try. Today is so much, or should I say, false ambitions. I want to be free, so I don't need a church. That is a severe lie. You cannot be free. Jesus says in John 15, we are the branches and he is the tree. A person that said, I don't want to belong to a church. I want to be free. It's as stupid as to say for a branch in a tree, no, I want to be free from the tree. So I cut it off and I'm living free. What happened with that? If I cut off my arm, it will die. If you cut yourself out of the body of Christ, you will die. It is as simple as that. The problem is we don't have any perfect churches. I'm sorry, Pastor Bob. Yeah. The painful thing is, don't say it to anyone, but there is no perfect pastors either. So don't look at us pastors or preachers. The real thing is, there are no perfect members either. Oops. But when we come together and submit under Jesus as the head of the church, the miracle happens. Suddenly, the body of Christ is seen. In him, we are perfect. When God looks at you and me, he does, oh, Per, oof, you have done this and this. No, he looks on me through the blood of Jesus. And there it says, righteous. Wow. Hallelujah. We are righteous because of what he did on the cross. Not because you are so good. Not because we are always doing the right thing. We are not. We need the blood of Jesus day by day. Confess our sins, and his blood will cleanse us again and again. That is a process. We need that continuous basis. We need the church. We need each other. God have decided to work through his church. It doesn't matter what kind of ID you have. What God has spoken, that is the real thing. Amen? Hallelujah. So God used Jesus in a perfect way. He paid the total price on the cross for all human mankind. And Jesus speaks to the disciples. He delegates his authority to them. He wants them to do and proceed the work, spreading the kingdom of God. We come into a situation where we are doubting. In Matthew 11, we have a famous person who's doubting. John the Baptist. Because he is put into prison. Prison is not a nice place. But it's not that prison that you can see from, maybe, I don't know. I've not been in prison in America. I've just seen on movies. But I know in Sweden, every prisoner, whatever crime he have done, he has his own room, he has, of course, color TV, he has computer, he has a possibility to have education, to have workout and read books, whatever. Nice place compared with other prisons. When I go to rehab centers in Russia and Ukraine, they say, well, can you tell us about the prisons in Sweden? And you can you help us to come there? It's like heaven for them. They have lived in the prisons in those countries. If they did not use drugs before, they do it after. When John the Baptist was thrown into prison, he did not have either a computer or color TV or a nice air condition. No. He was starting to doubt about his calling. And he sends his disciples. So he has some opportunity to speak to his disciples that visited him in the prison. It says in Matthew 11, and he gave this question to Jesus. Go to Jesus and ask him, are you the coming one or do we look for another? So even John the Baptist was doubting his calling, doubting about Jesus. It can happen to you and me also. Because of the circumstances that surrounds us. The answer from Jesus is quite interesting. Jesus answers in verse 4 and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. That is his answer to John. Do you think it's important? With the healing, deliverance? It is. It's at least a third part of the ministry of Jesus. How come then that we, as his followers, do not work in this area, in our lives, in our churches? The Christian church should be the best place on earth to get healed, to get delivered. Delivered? Well, I didn't know that there were things that I should be delivered from in our country. We don't have demons in America. Okay. I heard a Swedish pastor say that. I don't believe in demons. I don't believe that Satan is real. But, he said, if there are demons, they are in Africa. Yes. Pastor. But I heard an African pastor. We were on a leadership and church growth conference in South Korea. And this African pastor had a session and said, you have to help me to pray for Europe, especially Northern Europe. I know you're Americans, you don't know about Europe. You think that's one country, but it's not. It's many countries. It's outside America, actually. Yeah? On other side of a big sea. Yes? And this African pastor said, the northern part of Europe, especially. Where is that? That is Sweden. There are so many demons, he said. And I was thinking, this African pastor, he was more right than the Swedish pastor. In our country, we have demonic powers. We don't have to look for them. We don't have to look under the things. Is there any demons here? No. We don't have to do that. If they are, they will show themselves. Then we cast them out. Amen? That's the first sign that will follow the believer. Well, I have not seen that. Well, Let's go to Mark 16. You have your Bibles with you? Go to church, you have your Bibles. Some of us. This is the last words Jesus said, according to Mark. Read from verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." The first sign. The first sign of a believer. Cast out demons. We don't do that stuff. Well, perhaps we should. They will speak with new tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents. Okay. Do not go around and look for rattlesnakes and pick them up. Do not do that. Okay? Promise? Yeah, good. I read about that. It's like 20 years ago, 25. That was actually a church here in America. Surprise. In Arizona. We had a bucket of rattlesnakes in the church. So every sermon, the preacher took up rattlesnakes. Or should I say? Well, I can say that that church is no more. They had to change pastors quite often. Because they died. Now, that is stupidity. When the Bible speaks about serpents and scorpions, of course, they are real things. But it's a way of using the language to explain about demons. I will take a short story from India, where we had a Bible school up in the north of India, and there was a young lady in the Bible school who had severe back pain, so she wanted me to pray for her. And when I started to pray for her, there were some demonic manifestations. What is that? Well, that is where demons manifesting with screaming, shouting, fighting. There's no question about it. So then you cannot pray for healing. You have to put these demons away. So we cast it out, and she was totally healed. And she said, "Can you pray for my brother and my sister?" "Yes, can you bring them tomorrow?" "Yes." So next day, she brought her sister and brother, and we prayed for them because they had the same pain in their backs. The same thing happened with both brother and sister. It was demonic manifestations. So we cast them out, and they were free and totally healed. And they all three said, "Can you pray for our mother?" "Sure. Can you bring her?" "Well, she's outside." "Well, bring her in." So they went out and brought her in. And as far as she saw me, she started to scream and manifesting. So they pulled her in. And she started to act like a snake. Like she didn't have any bone structure. Like this. Like a cobra raising up. Like this. Most often it is a real privilege to be bigger than others. Amen, Dan? So I was not afraid, but it was awful. And her eyes were changed. I noticed in America, most people have round pupils. Yes. Yeah. But her eyes were changed to vertical like a snake. So it was quite ugly. But the Holy Spirit, "Do not touch her," he said. "Just speak to that demon." So I spoke in the name of Jesus, "Leave this woman." And she was cast several meters away on the floor. And then the Holy Spirit said, run after her. So I run down after her. You know, the demons do not want to leave. So that person that is captured is do not want to show their eyes. The eyes is a mirror for what you have on the inside. So the Holy Spirit said, force her eyes to be opened. I'm quite strong in my hands. So I forced her eyes opened. And when I looked down, I was prepared. Now I shall really take authority over these demons. But I started to almost laugh because I saw those small demons. You have to leave. Go. Do not come back. And there was a shout, and they left her. And her body was transformed back to normal. Her eyes were normal. And a big smile came. And she was free. And she received Jesus as her Savior. She used to be a Hindu witch, real witchcraft, putting spells on people, and her whole family were in bondage. But she was delivered. I really believe what Jesus said, that kind of snakes we shall take in our hands and cast out. Amen? And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This belongs to the believer. How many believers do we have here? Hallelujah. How many of you have hands? Most of you? Some of you have two? Okay. Then you qualify to do this. What? To lay hands upon the sick. You can do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, but I'm not the pastor. It doesn't say the pastors shall lay hands on the sick. The believer. Amen? But I don't have the gifts of healings. No, but it says this is one part of it. That the believer can be used in this. So that is the deep teaching about healing. Very deep. Point one, be a believer. Point two, have hands. Point three, put them upon a sick. Very often we make it very difficult. But our faith can reach out. On this word, from Jesus himself. We don't understand everything. We don't always see the perfect result. But by faith, we take it into our hearts. By faith, we start to act. By faith, also the anointing will come and grow in our lives. Amen? When I started to pray for sick 35 years ago, it was not a very big success. The first year, I was called to the hospital to pray for three people who had severe cancer, and all three of them died. And I was totally crushed. I said to the Lord, I must have misunderstood everything. But he said, no. You have not seen everything. Go on. Keep close to me. Hold my hand. I will lead you. I will teach you. I will let my anointing come more and more on you. So many years ago, but I know. I can see that God has come with more anointing. The last 10 years, we have seen so many with cancer being healed. Totally delivered. I was a quite young woman, around 30. All female organs were filled with cancer. This is Saturday, and the doctors gave her no hope. But they said, we give you a time on Monday morning. We will make a surgery. We will open you up and see if we can prolong your life. We prayed for it on Saturday. When you pray for that kind of sickness, you don't see any result after prayer. But Monday morning, she went into a hospital and they opened her up. There was no cancer. She was totally healed. That's why I'm going on with this. One single testimony like that changed my life. Another time in Armenia, we were in a big conference and so many were healed. We had a big sport arena, took 14,000 people. Then it's difficult to pray for every single one. But one single prayer, although this crowd, we heard up on the balcony a scream and a commotion, and five people came down. In the middle of them, there was a young girl looking like this. She was born blind. Now God opened her eyes. No one touched her. God touched her. For the first time, she saw. Hallelujah. In that conference also, there was a young girl. She said, can you come and pray for my father? He's dying in cancer. So me and my friend, we went there. And he had severe liver cancer. The tumor was big as a football. He was a traditional Christian, but didn't know anything from the Bible, actually. So we spent an hour or two, I don't remember, praying, reading the scripture, praying again. And he got better during our stay there. But we said goodbye. 3 days later, this daughter comes shining with a big smile from ear to ear. This morning, Daddy woke up. The tumor was gone. And he made a phone call to the hospital. I need to come in again. No, I'm sorry, we cannot help you. No, yeah, I heard that, but the tumor is gone. And the doctor said, come in immediately. Suddenly it was very interesting. And he came in and they examined him. There was no trace of cancer. He was totally healed. Things that it changed your life. Do you understand that? It totally changed your life. If I should just pray with my intellect, I could not help anything. I cannot heal a single person. I can't. But God has no limits. I am not the healer. He is. He is Jehovah Rapha, God, our doctor, our healer. Amen. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. Amen. We have to lift our eyes to Him. When we have hard times, when we have circumstances around us, lift your eyes to Jesus. If you are a believer, the signs will follow you. You and I shall not be running to some place where we hear, oh, miracles is happening. I mean, it's nothing big deal and wrong thing, but it should be. We follow Jesus and signs and wonders will follow us. Amen? That is the natural, supernatural way for every kind of believer. Yes? If we follow Jesus, that will happen. We are so impacted of this age. We glorify education. And we push down God's supernatural life. Well, there's nice stories, but of course it's not real. Of course, you cannot walk on water. Of course, you cannot be healed from a sickness like that. And if we are fed with that kind of ideas, we don't have any expectation that Jesus can do anything today either. Who is the one that gained from this? Satan. John 10:10 says, Jesus says, he is a thief. He wants to come to steal, destroy, and to kill. But, Jesus says, I have come to give you life, an overflowing life. Amen? Black and white. Totally opposite. You and I shall not open the door when Satan comes and knocks your door. Who is it?
I'm Satan.
What do you want?
I want to come to steal and destroy and to kill.
Okay, welcome. No, we should not do that. But actually, that is how we are reacting. We don't know what kind of weapons we have. Jesus has given us authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and resist Satan, and he shall flee from us. Amen? So when he comes, knock your door, who is it?
Satan.
Go in the name of Jesus. And you shut the door in his face. Hallelujah. Yes, you shall do it. You shall not make phone calls to Pastor Bob. Bob, help me. No. You shall do it. You. Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 18. Take upon you God's armor. You shall take that on. You shall resist on the evil day. Evil day? What day is that? Is it a Monday? No, not necessarily. The evil day is when the attack is coming. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, that sounds heavy. Well, it is sometimes, yes. Sometimes this part will be the biggest problem. Not only my head, it's your head also. Yes? Because the situation is impossible. It is impossible, but not for God. For me, it's impossible. For some doctors, it's impossible. But for God, nothing is impossible. My friend, you have to lift your faith to Him. Otherwise, you will lose hope. Hebrews 12 tells about this. We have to lift our eyes and focus on Jesus. There was one mother, she was not saved. She came to a meeting in Slovakia. She had her daughter, 7 years of age. The daughter was blind. Impossible. The doctor said, you came too late. We cannot save her sight. We prayed for her. Nothing happened as we could see. I prayed for the mother. I didn't know what to pray, so I prayed in tongues. I heard that my tongues were changing. She heard me pray in perfect Slovak language. I have no idea. I cannot speak that language. But God spoke to her, I will set you free from the bondage you have had all since childhood. She'd gone through severe problems, incest problems. She could not understand God as Father because of all these problems. She was totally released. She received Jesus. A couple of months later, I came back to the same place. The first that happened was a little girl comes running up in my arms. This girl, full sight. Hallelujah. I have a picture on that. That hug, that was very nice. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a process. It takes time. We want miracles now, now, now. Give it now. Give me patience now, Lord. It doesn't function like that. Faith. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. I like that translation. Now faith is. The substance of things hoped for. Not seen. But I see it on the inside. And it's now. Now when I pray, I have faith. It doesn't help me if I had faith 3 months ago. Now, when the situation is here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not, no. Now faith is. And it's a challenge to trust God more than what you see, what you feel, what other people say. All these things affect us. So now, when this girl came up in my arms and I prayed again for the mother, again I prayed in tongues, I thought, again she heard me pray in Slovak language. Now God said, now it's time for you to be filled with my Holy Spirit. Receive my joy. She was laying on the floor, laughing, praying in tongues. And I just saw that God did something. I had no clue what happened. Then the husband, the father, came to me. He had a deformed chest. You know, most the breastbone is quite solid and it's flat. In his case, it went inwards like this. It pressed upon his lungs. He had never been able to exercise, be involved in some kind of sport. Never. He said, can you pray for this? In a couple of seconds, I was asking myself and God, can you do this? Of course you can. But my mind said, oh, this is impossible. But let God do what he can do. So we prayed. Again, we didn't see any result immediately. The next time I come back, the first time in the prayer line, he said, look here. God have lifted out his bone structure. Totally flat. He has began to exercise. He's running. He's totally free from any every kind of problem. How will that be possible? I don't know. I know God have no limits. You understand? He is the same today. Hallelujah. Just the first meeting we had, like five, there were differences in the length of legs, like this. Someone had like this. God prolonged the legs, straightened out the spines. Pain in the spine were removed. One man could not lift his hand more than this because he had several years of destruction in his shoulder. Now he did like this. I cannot do like this, he said. But you're doing it. I said, yes, I'm doing it. Hallelujah. Our God can do abundantly, exceedingly more than we can think or pray. One time in Siberia, in Russia, we prayed for a woman. She had severe migraine headache since many years. And she had very bad eyesight. So we prayed for her. The next day, we had another healing meeting. And she came up, can I do a testimony? Yes, sure. He said, 15 years ago, I was married to an alcoholic. When he was drunk, he usually beat me. And this time, he beat me severely. This is not built for me. And he destroyed her nose, crushed her nose. So from that moment, she could not breathe through her nose. Her eyesight was totally destroyed. So it was 15 diopters difference between the eyes. And she had severe migraine headache for 15 years, every single day, 24 hours a day. And she said, this morning after prayer, I went to the bathroom, washed my face, and I almost fainted. I looked in the mirror. I saw clearly with both eyes, without glasses. I had no migraine headache. But the thing that almost made me faint was that my smashed nose was totally straight and I could breathe through my nose. We did not even pray for that. He can do more than we can even pray or think. Amen? Hallelujah. He can do everything. sometimes it takes time. When you go to the doctor and you have the need of antibiotic, he says, take these pills twice a day for 10 days. And you say, thank you so much. And you pay a lot of money. But you obey the doctor. But you come to Jesus, heal me now. And nothing happens the first day. Oh, that didn't work. At least we could give Jesus the same chance as we give the doctor. Amen? Here you have the pills. Twice a day. Hallelujah. Listen here. My son and my daughter, I add, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. They are medicine to all your flesh. This is medicine. Twice a day for 10 days. Eat it. It's free of charge. By grace, you can eat of this medicine. Hallelujah. It's health, it's life to you. You are the one that is in charge of what you're eating. We know in the natural life, we are the result of what we are eating. We cannot blame anyone, not even Satan. We are the one that are pushing things in our mouth. We are the one that can shut the mouth. It's difficult, I know. But you see, spiritually, we are the one that are also in charge. What we are eating that affects our spirit. We need the Word of God, my friend. We need to take it first. First seek God. First seek His righteousness. And all the other things will come to you. First seek God. The right priority. Healing is something that comes very naturally from the Lord. It belongs in the redemption, as I said. Belongs to us. God is using healing as a way to reach out to unsaved people. I pray for Muslims. I pray for Hindus. I pray for people from the jungle. Very easily it seems like they are healed. I don't know if you can stand some more stories. Okay? Yeah. Well, I can tell you stories like 3-4 hours. No problem. But I will not do that. But just to show you, also in India, in the same place where we had this Bible school, when we said amen for the day in the Bible school, someone comes into the door and said, "Can anyone heal me? Can anyone heal me?" In Hindi, he said that. And the interpreters spoke to me. Well, this man, he's dying. He has a big cancer tumor on his throat. He came from the doctor. The doctor said, "I'm sorry, we cannot do anything. You will perhaps live 1 week." But he heard about this Bible school that we prayed for sick. So he didn't know where it was. He took a bicycle rickshaw. And for several hours, he have traveled to look for this Bible school. I like that story because he heard the rumors, good rumors, that someone prayed for sick. So he came, can you help me? I said, I cannot help you, but Jesus can. He didn't know about Jesus. So I said to the Bible school, now, the lesson is over, but it continued. Now you help me to pray for this sick man. Reach out. Now we preach, pray for him. So I just lay my hand upon this big tumor. And when we prayed, it was just melting down. I was all wet in my hand. But I have a picture of this man the day after, smiling. totally healed, and he knew about Jesus. Hallelujah. God is using that as a tool to show himself. I'll tell you the story from Papua New Guinea. We were up in the jungle. You know, there used to be cannibals there. Not so many years ago. There's still some short fellows. So I usually say, when they saw me, they say, oh, here comes a lot of food. But there we had open-air meeting, and so many were saved and healed. After the last meeting, in the middle of the night, we came back to the little hotel, and the woman that owned the hotel, she was a Christian, she said, can you consider to pray for some more people? And I get hold of my interpreter, yes, of course. We were very tired, but, you know, if you're committed, you're committed. Amen? So yes, the first was five military. They came in. Two carried the officer. He could not walk. He was shivering his whole body. And something pushed his eyeballs out. He stood right out like this. He could not barely shut it. And he tried any kind of doctor, not only that village, but also in the main city. But no one could help him. But now these military guys, they had been guarding the place where we had these meetings. So they understood that so many miracles happened. So two other military guys, they had machine guns, Kalashnikovs, pointing at me, said, heal him. I don't know what you have done in that situation, but we had to heal him. I said, I cannot heal him, but Jesus can. Oh, yeah. Then so they were afraid of me also because I was double their size. So I said, I will just put my hand upon him. And he was terrified. So I bent down. You know, you don't have to stand like this. I bent down. And I lay my hands on his knee, and I prayed. In the name of Jesus, whatever this disease is, be departed from him. Let your healing anointing touch him. In less of 1 minute, all shivering stopped. Eyeballs popped into his head. And he had power to move his legs. And he stood up and he was totally healed. And all five militaries, they bowed down and backed out of the hotel like this. And I wish that I had a cameraman with me. I didn't, but it was awesome. And we prayed the whole night until like 5:30. Every single one that came into the lobby of the hotel was healed immediately. They were all Muslims or from the wilderness. But God used that to show that he is the healer. Do you understand? Therefore, I want to encourage you to step into this supernatural way of following Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is for us, not only in the church, but also to use them as the Holy Spirit shows. He will tell us. He will help us to do it. But we have to be open for that. Be hungry for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're stepping into a supernatural world. I had a fairly good life as an architect and engineer. Quite good salary. But you know, money cannot buy us happiness. For a while, perhaps. But what can give you satisfaction is to see how God is blessing people. You younger people, you have a possibility to give your life to Jesus. Not only, okay, I join my parents to church. Yeah, we have a good time. You know, lukewarmness is not the thing I speak about. I'm speaking about super hot. heart, burning heart for Jesus. Be devoted. Hallelujah. The best thing you can ever do. Be committed to Jesus. Hallelujah. Dare to be a good example. Dare to be a role model. The young generation of today, they want to be like everyone else. No one sticks out really. It's time for role models to stick out. Stand for purity. Stand for believing in God. This world is not clean. This world is unclean. We have to pray for the next generation, the young generation. We have to encourage them to get hold of Jesus, not in lukewarmness. So they need also examples. You and I should be good examples to the next generation. Well, I'm so old. Don't come with that crap. I'm 62. Sometimes I act like 25. My wife tells me and helps me to understand I'm not 25. That's true. But do not resign from life. I met an Armenian woman, 107 years, on a hospital for old people that could not afford to have treatment, have no relatives that took care of them. 107! And she was the most healthy person in that place. We went from room to room and prayed for every single one. She joined me, said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And every time I went down from the room, she took my hands because she was cold and I was always hot. "Oh, I want to keep you," she said. "I want to adopt you." "That's okay," I said. "My mother is with the Lord, so I can take you as a new mother." And she had humor. We had a good time. Next time I came there, in Sochi in the south of Russia, she was very sick, 107. "So what should you expect?" "Of course, she will die." "Well, you and I also will die sometime." But she has so much pain, so we prayed for her. 2 days later, she was totally healed. You can be healed when you're 107. That means God can use you when you're 107. So don't not come with that crap that, "Oh, God cannot use me, I'm so old." Hey, come on. As long as I can move, if I go with some help, I will preach the gospel of God. I will preach and pray for people. Yeah? Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I don't know anything about your situation, but God can do miracles in your life. Expect Him to be God. Yeah? Hallelujah. Sometimes we suffer for a long time. And you cannot give any explanation why sometimes people have to wait for a long time to be healed. I have a couple of testimonies of people that from birth, now they are 50. They have suffered all their lives, but then God's miracle comes. It's fantastic. There was one lady in Ukraine, she had a polio infection. You know about polio? For almost 20 years. And so one part of her have not grown. Her legs, one of the legs were stiff totally, and she was limping, and it was so much difference. And she moved barely with two severe sticks. She was in a Bible school in Donetsk in Ukraine, and we prayed for everyone. We didn't have time to specific prayer for every single one, but we prayed that the anointing of God would come upon them. And I understood that there was something severe with this lady. But then I had to leave, go to the next place. 2 years later, I'm back in the same area, and I see this lady. And I asked, did I not pray for you 2 years ago? Yes, you did. Now remember her situation. How is today? Can you see any improvement? Oh, yes, she said. I only have one single stick, but that is because it's the ice outside, so just for protection. But I have one question, because still this leg is so much shorter because it has not been growing during the sickness. So it still was 6 centimeters like this, 2.5 inch. Well, obviously, all people saw that. So now we prayed for her, and God prolonged her leg in the front of all the ice. And she walked home totally without limping. Oh, well, that's impossible. Yes, but God did it anyhow. Hallelujah. So now is the time for us to also to serve you. Amen. I want you to open up for the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Hallelujah. Maybe there is someone here that has not received Jesus as your personal Savior. I want to ask you that question. I usually do that even when I'm in churches, because that is the main thing. I'm very focused on healing, but the main thing is that we receive Him as our personal Savior. So if you have come here and you're not saved, please, this is a perfect place to get saved. I just ask it. So now, can we stand up? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come with your healing anointing. Touch us, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Sikaram. Thank you, Lord. There is someone here with severe migraine headache. I will just speak out some things, and when you respond, you just come along, standing up in the front here. Someone with severe migraine headache. You had it for years, but today is the day when this will cease. There's someone that have been in some kind of accident, and you have so much pain in your back. This is also your day for a healing. Someone that have an internal organ that is not in function. It's almost like you need a new part. God will touch you. This organ will have new life. There's someone that have a blood disease. It seems to be impossible to get cured, but it's not impossible for the Lord. There's someone here that know that so far you have not been able to get pregnant, Today, there will be a change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We start with this, and then you can just join. I always start with that the Holy Spirit shows. And I want you to be open. If you're tired, please sit down, but be active. We have friends with big need in the front. God will touch them.